Morning, church.
Kelly Clarkson.
Good to see everybody here today.
Kelly Clarkson.
Appreciate all that more than you would text. That's why I wanted to show that.
So Facebook messages.
So this song was written in a small town in France at the end of 1843.
Get geared up for the service.
And this the song was written as a poem by a guy named Placide Capello.
Last week,
he was a native of the town. He was a wine merchant.
Lessons from carols, and we're going to spend.
But he didn't believe in God.
Between now and Christmas, looking at certain
the church
songs
asked him to write
time,
this.
We've grown up singing
Christmas poem
songs that have been around for hundreds of years.
What are the words?
And
mean?
So he wrote the
what
poem.
And when the poem was read at the church in 1843, everybody loved
last
it.
Last week we looked at Silent
until they
Night.
Heard who wrote it,
and it was written.
And many
in
of the members said,
Austrian
"You shouldn't read that poem. This guy doesn't
because
the church organ was broken." And so
and
the
church
efforts
needed
were
something
made different
to destroy,
than their traditional songs.
To ban it.
So they asked
this went on
they
for
had
some
to write a song
to use.
And a few of the church members
the
sneaked the poem out to another town.
Organ.
Where a man
and we learned
named
last week
Adolf
that out of brokenness
got a hold of
God
it.
Often
reveals
music.
His beauty to
and
us.
And in 1855,
we
the
also
song was
learned
translated
Silent Night
English
is a song about peace
and, brought to
and
America
silence.
Soon
and
after.
If Jesus
it's
can bring peace and silence
an story.
Into the circumstances
the birth
surrounding his
of
own
Jesus
birth was a holy night for sure.
Silence.
That was a holy night.
We face
and in fact,
life.
The only proper response
morning,
to a night like that
the song
would be singing.
Holy night. I want you to watch this.
I want us to read from Luke chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1. This is a very familiar verse to us. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There's an old ancient legend about this angel chorus that we just read about. And this is just a legend, but it's an interesting legend. And the legend goes like this. One day God called the angels together for a practice, for a rehearsal. And he told them that he had a special song that he wanted them to sing. And this song would be sung just for a very special occasion. So the angels went to work on this song. They rehearsed it long and hard, and they had great focus and great intensity at their rehearsals. And in fact, some of the angels even grumbled a little bit because God insisted on a very high standard for his choir. As time passed, the choir improved in tone and rhythm and quality, and finally, God announced they were ready. But then he shocked them a little bit. He told them they would sing this song only once, only on one night. There would just be one performance of this song they had rehearsed so hard. And again, the angels started to grumble. This song was beautiful. They'd worked hard on it. They had it down pat, and now they're only going to be able to sing it once. They sound a lot like us sometimes, don't they? They grumbled. God smiled and he said, "You will understand when the time comes." Then one night, God called them together, and he gathered them above a field outside of Bethlehem, and he said, "It is time." And the angels sang their song. They sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And as the angels sang this song, they knew there would never, ever be another night like this one. When the angels returned to heaven, God reminded them again, "You'll never sing this song all together. You can hum it individually, occasionally, if you want, but there'll never be a performance like the one you just performed." One angel was bold, and he stepped forward and he said, "Why, God, it went off without a hitch. It was beautiful. It was amazing. Why can't we sing this song anymore?" And God explained, "My son has been born, and now earth must do the singing." You know, we get to celebrate Jesus every single day, don't we? As believers, as followers of Christ, every single day we have the privilege of celebrating who he is, the way he came, the way he died, the lessons that he taught us, the hope we have through him. We get to celebrate that every day. But the Christmas season is important because it reminds the world of Jesus and how he came to earth. And now it is earth's turn to do the singing. He came to earth to save us, to reconcile us to a God who loves us, a God who created us. And when you think about the lyrics to "O Holy Night," "O Holy Night," the song is describing the gifts that we receive that night, the gifts that all mankind receive that night. This was a holy night because it gave us the gift of baby Jesus. You've heard the phrase, "It's more blessed to give than receive." But you know what? We are reminded that the greatest gift of all was the gift of Jesus arriving in that manger. You know, babies are like Christ. They're both innocent, right? Christ was sin-free. He didn't do anything wrong, but he made the ultimate sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. God reached out through Christ to embrace a sinful world, a world full of hurt and hatred. And Luke, when he writes in Luke chapter 2, he wants us to ponder the events of that night. God wants us to ponder the events of his son's birth, to consider that we should glorify and praise him because of the experiences we can have because of that baby Jesus, that gift of a baby. How many Christmas parties will you attend this year? 3, 4, 5, 17? Kind of runs the gamut, doesn't it? You're going to go to probably more than one. And how many gifts are you going to be given this Christmas season? Hopefully a lot, right? Just the babies. There you go. There you go. You know, I might be experiencing that a little bit more this in my house than normal too, yeah. But we're going to get gifts. But one reality about all gifts, no matter who got them for you, no matter how good they are, how bad they are, one reality about all gifts, they are worthless if you don't accept them. Right? Doesn't matter what someone's given you, if you don't accept it, pointless. Most of us will attend a lot of Christmas parties this year, but Christ has given us the most important invitation. You know, all the salvation of God is finished. He's done what he needs to do. But it's not ours until we claim it, till we accept it, till we're obedient. We have two kingdoms we can choose from, right? The kingdom of the world, which consists of wealth and poverty and stuff. Or the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, represented by the shepherds. Shepherds don't have time to worry about power and prestige and stuff. They're busy caring and serving for their flock. Amen? Christ's life is a good example of God's kingdom, an example for all of us. Will you accept this baby, this gift of Jesus? We also see highlighted in the song, "O Holy Night," the gift of ultimate service. The night Jesus was born, we see God's humbleness on display. We see God's love on display, and we see God's heart of a servant being on full display. We see the ultimate example of what it means to serve. God, out of his love for us, humbled himself, and we humble ourselves before God and before our fellow man. You know, this love takes many forms, including serving those who are less fortunate, being there for the lonely, taking up for the oppressed. When God humbled himself to come to this earth, every human being became somebody. Every human being, because of Jesus, has a name, has value, has identity, has dignity, no matter what we may think of them. And everyone can have a Savior, all because of this baby born in Bethlehem. God has been at work creating all kinds of experiences and places we can encounter him in powerful and real and life-changing ways. Do you believe that? He has. We find God everywhere, even in the worst places possible. Because as we said last week, there's no place God won't go to save souls. We find him being born and placed in a manger. May we look beyond our immediate world and see that God is here for everyone. And he's here, and he sent his son to serve everyone. You know, what we read in Luke about Jesus' birth is good news for tough times. And it's just as powerful and as meaningful today as it was when it was written. Jesus became human. He came into human life. He entered time and space for the first time, you might say. Left heaven to come here. That is the ultimate example of service. There's a story about an old cobbler. Not blackberry or peach, but a guy who makes shoes. The old cobbler had a dream one night. He dreamed that the next day, Jesus was going to come to his shop. And so the cobbler got up early, and he went out into the woods, and he gathered up a bunch of greenery to decorate his shop for Jesus to come. And he made a bunch of food so that he could feed Jesus the best foods when he came to his shop. And the man waited all morning, but the only person to come by was an old man who shuffled up and asked if he could just come in and rest. The cobbler saw that his shoes were worn through. So he invited the man in and he said, I'm going to give you a new pair of shoes. And he let the man rest a while. He gave him some new shoes and sent him on his way. And the cobbler continued to wait for Jesus to come by the shop. And he waited all afternoon. But the only person to come by in the afternoon was an older lady carrying a whole bunch of firewood. And she was tired and she was exhausted, and he could see her as she walked through the door, and he had her come in and sit down, and he could tell she was hungry. So he gave her the food that he'd prepared for him and Jesus to eat when they had their meal that day. And the woman ate and she ate and she ate because she was starving, and once she'd had her fill and once she'd rested, then she left. And the cobbler's looking at the time and he's thinking, this day is going on and still, I'm waiting on Jesus. He waited past closing time into the evening, and the only thing that happened that evening was a kid came by, a little boy came by screaming and crying because he couldn't find his parents. And this annoyed the cobbler, but he knew where the child lived and he knew where the parents would be, so he left his shop and he took the little boy home. And as he was walking back to the shop, he was just sure he must have missed Jesus while he was out taking the little boy home. And he got back to the shop and he said, why, Lord, didn't you come? Did you forget today was the day you were supposed to come to my shop? And softly he heard a voice that said, lift up your heart, for I kept my word. Three times I came to your friendly door. Three times my shadow was on your floor. I was the beggar with bruised feet. I was the woman you gave food to eat. I was the scared child on the street. Jesus himself says it this way in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Service, church, the gift of service given to us on that holy night. You know, God is there in the worst situations we encounter in this life, isn't he? He's always there. When all is dark, when things are bad, God is there when we need him the most, always. And God wants a relationship with you, with me. And his son makes that possible. God wants the whole world to know about his love and to know about his peace. With all the faults of this world, he chose to come here. Think about that. We say that a lot. We know that. But all the faults of this world, he was in a place of perfection and he chose to come here. He didn't come here to live in a palace and be waited on. But he came in the most humble of circumstances, to a family that was wandering around. He came where his birth was announced to shepherds, not kings, not the powerful. And he was placed in a spot made for animals. God came to the middle of a dying world to bring life. And church, we are sent into the middle of a dying world every single day, and it's our job to bring hope. It's our job to bring Christ's love. It's our job to live out this service in our lives. Serve others this season. Serve others year-round. This is something we're to do all the time, but right now our world is focused on that. Take advantage of that. Capitalize on that, we would say. Remember, when we serve people, we're serving Jesus. We're serving God. May we continue to live out the example of service, that gift he gave us on that holy night. And the night Jesus was born was also a holy night because it paved the way for us to go home. Through him, we have the gift of coming home. At Christmas, a lot of us yearn for home, right? That's why a lot of you probably will be traveling some distance to go with friends and relatives, and there'll be people, kids, grandkids coming here traveling long distances because for Christmas, we want to be home. It's a time for family celebrations, even if it means traveling a long way. Christmas comes each year, and it reminds us that peace, goodwill, love, acceptance, desire for others' well-being, those are still important things. And for Christians, that's a way of life. Don't let the world rob you of that. Don't let the world make you callous to that. Sometimes, though, we get busy, don't we? Sometimes we get busy in our lives, and maybe we crowd out Jesus. Maybe we crowd out God, or we put him in a box and say, I'll come back later. Sometimes we get busy, but we have to make room and time for our Savior all the year long. There was no room for Jesus in the inn. Thought a lot about that. There's no room for him. He couldn't get a guest room, a cot, nothing. That's a Seinfeld. But he couldn't. Knowing what the world knows today, do you think maybe that innkeeper would have liked to have had another opportunity to put Mary and Joseph up for the night? You ever thought about that? Can you imagine the marketing opportunities he would have if he could say, the Savior of the world was born in my hotel? Now, in the short term, things might have been a little rough for him, right? But I bet you they'd still be in business today. Think about that. But we look at the innkeeper and we say, this guy blew it. Make room for Jesus somewhere. Make room for Mary and Joseph somewhere. Do whatever's necessary, room keeper, because tonight is life-changing for eternity. But you know what? Each of us have that same opportunity as the innkeeper had. Is the inn full, or will we let Jesus come in? Talking about our hearts, talking about our lives. We have to let our hearts become a manger where Christ is born new every single day. Jesus still searches for hearts to fill, and he wants to fill yours. The trouble is we have to make room for him. We have to allow him to come in. And when we make room for Jesus, it's not that he just barely gets in and can occupy a small part of our hearts, but when we let Jesus in, it's life-changing, and he changes everything for his glory. Will you accept the gift that you were given on that holy night to come home? To come home to God, to come home to your Savior. Confess that you are a sinner, just like all of us, in need of a Savior. That Christ is your Savior. Repent and be baptized into Jesus. Make room for him today so that he can make room for you in heaven for eternity. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.